Thanks, team, for leading us in worship this morning. I think I say it every week. I should say it every week. We appreciate you. And thank God for the talents and abilities He's given you and that you share them with us. Well, this morning, for our message time, we're continuing today with our consideration of the armor of God. And we're in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 to 18, and today we're considering the footwear. That's why I kind of lifted Buddy up here on the... I don't want to name him, because then I'll get attached to him, and then I'll have to let him go, and it's going to be hard for me. So I lifted him up a little bit so we could see some footwear. Now, I know this is medieval armor. I get that. And we're talking about Roman armor and stuff like that, but this is just a visual, okay, and some of this stuff. And so I just wanted to point that out as we're going along, and you go, well, you know, that's not really what... Yeah, I know. That's just for us to take a look at. We've looked at, so far in this series, we've looked at the fact that God's Word tells us that we're in a spiritual battle. Now, that's not fun stuff to talk about. It's not. We want to talk about God's blessing and sing about that, and we want to sing about and talk about happy things. I mean, that makes us feel good, talk about joy. But the Bible also tells us the fact that we are in a spiritual battle. The Bible tells us we have an enemy, and we need to be prepared for that spiritual battle. We need to be dressed in order to be able to stand against the enemy's attacks, against his schemes. That's what the Bible tells us, and that's what we've been following along in, so I'm not just sort of jumping into it here. We've been following along. We've looked at the belt of truth. We did that in our second week. I suggested to you that represents a life of integrity. It's remembering that Jesus is the truth, and we're to put him on, so to speak. We talked about that. When people look at us, do they see anything that looks like Jesus in our speech and actions? Is a question we can ask ourselves when we consider the belt of truth. The belt of truth is what holds the rest of the armor in place. We talked about that as well, and keeps us from tripping over ourselves. Last week, Stephen invited us to consider the breastplate of righteousness. This is the righteousness of Jesus that we can claim as our protection against the enemy's attack, which is an attack that would have us living in guilt and shame, Stephen talked about. It describes our position before God. He looks at us and he sees the righteousness because of our faith and trust in his son Jesus. Stephen had gone on, and it also has to do with our actions. We're to choose to do right. And when we understand our position before God and we're working on living lives that are pleasing to him, Paul says that our hearts are protected from attack. It doesn't mean there won't be attacks. It's just that Satan won't be able to find that crack to exploit or that flaw to use against us. So we've got the belt of truth on, and we have the breastplate of righteousness secured. And now Paul says we need the right footwear in Ephesians chapter 6. He says we need the right footwear. You know, in sports, wearing the right shoes, having the right footwear, is critical to your performance and success. All of you who are athletes know that. If you wear cleats on a basketball court, you break your leg. If you wear basketball shoes in a soccer game, well, the players with the right shoes will maneuver right around you because you won't have any traction to move quickly. There are tennis shoes and track shoes and jogging shoes and soccer shoes and football shoes. There are cleats for turf. There are cleats for grass, rain, dirt, and any other surface you can think of. Any serious athlete will have the right shoes. They give you what you need to be successful. Now, several years ago, my wife Patty took up interval running. That's kind of a run-walk thing, where you run a certain interval and then you walk an interval as well. And I had great pleasure in cheering her on from the sidelines at first. And then after some weeks, I joined her. Problem was, and she told me this might happen, I didn't start out with the right shoes. I didn't have the right shoes. I started interval running with her and very soon after began to experience pain in my lower legs and really sore feet as well. There's a term with walkers and runners and athletes. It's called shin splints, which a person can get for a number of reasons. But for me, getting the right shoes was the answer. These are not the right shoes for running and walking. there's pretty much zero tread on the bottom of them. It's beginning to wear through. These are not the shoes, proper footwear to use for that. These are fitted. They have tread. They're made for the purposes of running, walking. And I am telling you, when I got the proper pair of shoes for running, wow. It's weird. You don't believe it at first that it can be that different, but it is. It made all the difference, and it felt like I was running on little pillows. It's just a cool feeling. You still have to pace yourself. But the proper shoes allowed me to run and to run well. And I clearly remember the odd time that I accidentally wore my old shoes, and I could feel every stone and bump that I ran on, and those outings did not go well. Well, just like sports, the spiritual war that the Bible talks about that we're in requires, Paul suggests to us, the right footwear. This is the third part of the armor that Paul describes in his message to the church. Take a look. He says this in Ephesians chapter 4. Stand firm then with the belt of truth, remember, buckled around your waist, with the breastplate, Stephen talked about that, of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith. We'll talk about that next week. In a couple weeks, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation. We'll look at that. The sword of the Spirit. We'll consider that, which is the word of God. And pray in the Spirit. We'll consider that on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. When I talk about praying for each other, I'm not just making it up because it sounds nice. It's what we're called to do, to pray for one another. The shoes of a Roman soldier were a very important part of the armor. The soldiers could be required to march up to 40 to 50 kilometers in a single day. And if they didn't have the right footwear, if they didn't have good shoes, they wouldn't be able to make the walk and they wouldn't be able to enter into the battle that they were headed to. Quite typically, the shoes of a soldier then were an open-toed, if you can believe it, type of sandal almost, tied above the ankle as well as just over the calf. They were custom fitted to each soldier's feet, and there was a thick leather upper part that covered the shins, and the soles were very thick and durable as well. Oftentimes, enemies would sharpen sticks and other objects and lay them as traps along the road. And if a soldier didn't have those thick-soled footwear that he should have on, and the object on the ground went through the shoe into the foot, just like it's a creepy feeling, right? Just even thinking about that soldier wouldn't be able to march and could no longer fight. The Roman soldier's shoe had another interesting characteristic. You see, in hand-to-hand combat, the kind of battles that these soldiers fought in, taking or gaining and keeping ground was essential. If an army could push you back, if they could push you back, the soldiers in the back had no room to advance, and your lines would just begin to collapse on themselves, and you stood the chance of being overwhelmed by the enemy. And so in order for the soldiers to hold their ground and to dig in for the fight, the Romans would drive nails through the soles of the shoes. They called them there's like a hobnail type thing. It was like a modern day cleat, if you will. And they would drive those nails through the shoe. And these were the little short stubby nails that would stick out the bottom of the shoe and dig into whatever ground the soldier was marching or fighting on. And this enabled the army of Rome to not only stand their ground, but then to push the enemy back as well. And so the shoes helped the Romans to march to battle. It helped them to hold the ground in a fight and even to push forward when things got tight. Well, if we take that analogy over as Paul has been talking to us in Ephesians, for Christians, as we try to hold our ground and to stand firm in the spiritual fight, we need to be wearing the right shoes, Paul suggests. In the New International Version, it says that our feet should be fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. What does that mean? I always thought it said that our feet should be fitted with shoes of peace. But that's not what it says. It says that our feet should be fitted with readiness. Readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. You know, I read where scholars have said that this verse is one of the toughest verses in the New Testament to translate from the original language, from Greek to English. It's one of the most difficult verses. But we're to put on as shoes for our feet the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. So two things. The first we'll consider here is just for a few moments is the gospel of peace. The second is readiness that comes from the gospel of peace that Paul's talking about. So the gospel of peace. The shoes that we are to wear are made specifically to stand on the truth of God's word. If we try and stand on any other ground, and Paul suggests here in other places, we will fall. And so when Paul uses the phrase gospel of peace, we need to turn to God's word, the Bible, and see what he's referring to. The gospel, the Bible, is full of references to peace. I mean, peace is important to understanding salvation. Peace is important to understanding our relationship with God, to making it through life and being the church that we're called to be. The Greek word translated peace means that which has been bound together. It's the idea of two things that once were separate and against each other, now being joined and being held together in an unbreakable bond. And so the first peace that we'll notice from the Bible is peace with God. You see, we read in the Bible, in God's Word, that by the work of Jesus Christ, His coming, His death, His resurrection, we're bound with God when we become a Christ follower. When we become a Christ follower, when we confess our sins, when we ask Him to forgive us our sins and to come into our life, to be the CEO, if you will, of our lives, our Lord and Savior, there's an unbreakable bond that comes. Peace with God. We're bound to God when we become a Christ follower. Two parts that were separate and against each other now joined in bond, in a bond together. This is what the good news of the gospel is. You see, humankind was God's enemy and at war with God because of sin. And Jesus came to bring peace between God and His creation. But Romans chapter 5 verse 1 says, therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ our Lord has done for us. Because of our faith, Christ has brought us into this place of undeserved privilege where we now stand, and we confidently and joyfully look forward to sharing God's glory. You see, when we understand this reality, we can fight against the attacks of Satan when he tries to tell us we're not good enough for God. And although that is true, God's mercy makes it so that we can be, as Stephen shared with us last week, we can be in God's view righteous because of Jesus' righteousness for us. And so even though Satan will continue to tell us, you're not good enough, you're not good enough for God. And when he tries to convince us that God can't be known or would never come near to someone like us because of our sins and shortcomings, we can stand with confidence and say, God and I are at peace. It's all good. That's a part of the gospel of peace, and there's power in that truth. Well, not only do we have peace with God, we've also been given the gift of peace, of the peace of God. We have peace with God, and we have the peace of God. And folks, when life pressures us, when the money's short and bills are overdue, and when relationships are crumbling and we don't know if we can make it another day, we can have the peace of God even in those circumstances. It's not a promise of ease or comfort, but it's a deep soul peace that comes from understanding that God's in control, and even though we may be walking through the valley of the shadow of death, we don't need to fear evil because God is with us. We serve a God who loves us and has plans for our lives for good, His good purposes. Believe that promise and you'll be amazed at the peace it brings. This is a peace unlike anything that humankind can give. In fact, Philippians 4:7 says, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, which blows my mind, which I don't get, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. What God can do and provide. We can have the peace of God. How do we get it? How do I get that? Philippians 4:6 says this. Simple, right? But it's a sincere imploring, asking. With thanksgiving, present your requests to God. God's peace is a gift that comes when we give ourselves and our situations, good and bad, when we give them to Him and trust Him that He'll accomplish His purposes. See, I think too many times people give things to God and then they take it back again so that they can worry and try and figure it out, mostly on our own. You want peace? Believe God. You want peace? Trust God. Rest in Him. Breathe in Him, we might say, and you can experience His peace. Again, this is an essential part, Paul says, to our defense. Satan will try to convince you that God doesn't care or that God can't accomplish something that you're asking Him for. The gospel of peace tells us that we can stand with the peace of God, knowing that God cares and that God listens and answers and is able to work out circumstances in our lives for ultimate good. And so we can have peace with God, we can have the peace of God, but we're also called to peace with others. The first one has to do with our relationship with God, the second one has to do with the gift of God to us, and this aspect of the gospel of peace is our response. Hebrews 12:14 says, make every effort to live in peace with everyone. Make every effort to live in peace with everyone. There are other verses that talk about this. 1 Thessalonians 5:13, live in peace with each other. Romans 12:18, if it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Mark 9:50, and be at peace with each other. Colossians 3:15, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace. Ephesians 4:3, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Sometimes we don't get that very very good as people, and so our courts will issue peace bonds to help keep the peace. But we're called to do that, to make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. 1 Corinthians 7:15, God has called us to live in peace. Romans 14:19, let us make every effort to do what leads to peace and to mutual edification. That is building up or encouraging each other. Wow, that's a lot. Can't really deny what we've been called to. Over and over again, we see that the call in the life of a Christian is to live in peace. The importance of this when we talk about spiritual warfare is fairly obvious. This is the crack that Satan gets into in a lot of churches. Where there is no peace among the people of a church, there can be no unity. And where there is no unity in the church, when that happens, if that happens, the focus always remains inside, on what's happening among the people already in the church, and not on the outside, on those who need to hear the good news, the gospel of peace. And those kinds of churches, if they ever try to shift the focus to the outside, and people come in and they don't see peace, they want nothing to do with our God. The church is called to peace with each other, so that there's unity, so that they can be used, so that we can be used by God together to change our communities, to change our world. And this can't happen when we don't have peace. When someone says something that offends you, choose peace. When you get overlooked for something that you did, maybe it even happens in the church, choose peace. If you aren't happy with every aspect of the service, choose peace. It will make a world of difference in this place and in your life. And you will know the blessing of being a peacemaker. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. And so the gospel of peace, three things. We have peace with God, we have the peace of God, and we strive toward peace with others as well. Each aspect strengthens and empowers us to stand when we understand those things, when we understand the implications of them in our lives and how we can use this truth to fend off the attacks of our enemy. There's also another aspect to these shoes, though. Paul says that there is a readiness that comes from this gospel of peace. In fact, that's what he says our feet are to be fitted with. Readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. Readiness. When we put on these shoes, we have to be ready for action. Interesting little story. It's an old story. It came out of one of General Stonewall Jackson. You've probably heard of him. His military campaigns. And it was a situation where Jackson's army found itself on one side of a river when it needed to be on the other side. And after telling his engineers to plan and to build a bridge quickly so the army could cross, he called his crew boss. And he called him in to tell him it was urgent that the supplies and all of that needed to get across the river as soon as possible. And so the crew boss, he started gathering all the logs and rocks and fence rails that he could find, and he threw a bridge down. And long before daylight, General Jackson was told by his crew boss that everything had crossed the river. And then Jackson asked, "Where are the engineers? What are they doing?" And the crew boss's reply was simply that they were in their tent drawing up plans for a bridge. Planning's not bad, but we have to be ready, and sometimes on short notice, to move, to go, to march ahead. And when we have feet that are fitted with readiness, we need to be prepared at a moment's notice to enter the action. It might look like things are out of control and we can just sit back, or under control, and we can just sit back and relax, but the gospel of peace is filled with calls and commands to action. We can't put our shoes on and then sit on the couch. Earlier in the book of Ephesians that we're looking at here, and we can see some of the things that we need to be ready for. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 14 says, you know, we need to be ready in these kinds of things. So then we will no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever they sound like the truth. There are a few other things that we need to note that we can be and should be ready for as well. We need to be ready to stand our ground in spiritual warfare. The soldier's shoes dug in and helped to keep them from being pushed back. And we need to be ready, I think, as Christ followers. Paul says to stand our ground. We shouldn't allow ourselves to be tossed back and forth and blown here and there by everything that sounds like, maybe that's good. We need to read God's word to find out what he says about it. We might want to learn a little bit about defending or standing up for our faith. Standing up for what we believe. I mean, Satan wants to convince us that we don't know enough, so we should keep our mouths shut. How are we going to answer or at least point to a resource about evolution questions? Where do you stand on abortion and why? Have you seen the news about that over the past few days, the past week in our politics? What does the Bible say about homosexuality? Do you stand with the Bible or not? You see, the time is here when Christianity, when God's Word is under fire, and we've got to have our feet fitted with readiness to stand. We stand, in Paul's words, our ground against the attacks that Satan makes against us. Then not only can we stand, we can begin to take new ground. Feet that are fitted with readiness that comes from the gospel of peace need to be ready to take new ground. See, the spikes in the soldier's shoes help them to push forward and to take ground. Paul says in chapter 4, again, back a little farther than what we're looking at, chapter 4, verse 15, "Instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church." We're to grow up. We're to be moving forward. The Christian walk can be measured by growth. You know, we look, sometimes you go through old pictures, and you see the kids when they were like, and it's like, oh my goodness. The kids don't want to see those pictures, because they look so nerdy and everything in those pictures, you know, and now they're cool and everything, and they've grown up and that, but you can see the difference. You can see the growth that's taken place. It's amazing how quickly our children have grown. Each year you can see a difference in them, and you might not notice it day by day, but when you look back, it is so clear. Kids grow. Kids are always learning. Christ followers are to be like that too. We have to learn to take new ground in our spiritual battles. And finally, we need to be ready to carry the good news. See, when the battle was won, when the Roman armies won a battle, one soldier would run as quickly as possible to inform those who needed to know of the good news that they had won. And the right shoes, again, were important in order for him to carry that news. And you see, in our lives, one of the functions of these battle shoes that Paul's talking about is the preparation and readiness to go where God leads, to share this gospel of peace with others. We're surrounded, folks, by a world that needs the hope that we have. That needs the peace that we can know. Romans 10:13 says, "Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." That's awesome. But it goes on to say very logically, but how can they call on Him to save them unless they believe in Him? And how can they believe in Him if they've never heard about Him? And how can they hear about Him unless someone tells them? And how will anyone go and tell them without being sent? That is why the scriptures say, "How beautiful are the feet of messengers who bring good news." Where does the scripture say that? Way back in the Old Testament in Isaiah. Isaiah 52:7, how beautiful on the mountains are the feet of the messenger who brings good news, the good news of peace and salvation, the news that God reigns. Those beautiful feet are wearing those shoes that Paul talks about, shoes that are ready to go and share. We can't count on someone else doing it. We're to be ready to share the truth wherever we are when the opportunity comes. God will give us chances, but Satan will try and convince us that we have no right to force our beliefs on anyone. We don't have the right to force our beliefs on anyone, but those are the words that are used. It's actually one of his greatest achievements, the movement towards tolerance in this world. And what I mean by that is that he's convinced people that all roads lead to God and that Christians only have one way. Not the way. But Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. His words, not mine. And because of that movement towards tolerance, because of that, some say that we need to keep our beliefs to ourselves. That's what the world says. Do you know what God says? Might not be the same. 2 Corinthians 5:20, we are therefore Christ's ambassadors. We're his representatives. As though God were making his appeal through us. 1 Peter 3:15, but in your hearts set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared, always be ready to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. We do not need to cram our beliefs down anyone's throat. That's no good. We do, however, have to understand that we are Christ's ambassadors. We represent him and his interests in a difficult and sometimes hostile world. And we need to be ready to share the good news of God's love. Again, we read in Ephesians chapter 5, just before the chapter we're taking this armor study out of. We read in Ephesians chapter 5 that we're to make the most of every opportunity. And folks, we can only do this when our feet are fitted with the readiness that comes through the gospel of peace. And when we're ready to go where he sends us and say, and then we'll be ready to go where he sends us and say what he asks us to say. It was a creepy old sort of commercial on TV. I watched it just recently. It's weird. I don't know if you remember the Nike commercials where Michael Jordan would do something amazing and that weird guy, Spike Lee, he'd stick his face in there and he'd say, it's got to be the shoes. It's got to be the shoes. It was Nike selling shoes. You know, it makes sense. It's got to be the shoes. Well, in our spiritual lives, if we're going to stand our ground and dig in preparation to move forward, it's got to be the shoes. It's got to be the shoes. And maybe for some of us, it's time to have our feet fitted with readiness. We have peace with God, and we're promised the peace of God if we'll let things go and trust him. We sang about some of that stuff this morning. This peace that passes all human understanding is available to all of us uniquely and individually. We have custom-fitted designer shoes from God. We shouldn't wear other people's spiritual shoes. Growing up in a Christian home doesn't make you a Christian. Being part of a certain church doesn't make you a Christian. Your own personal faith and belief in Jesus Christ makes you a Christ follower. And as a Christ follower, each one of you have a personal story to tell. Let's pray that God would help us to always be ready, to have our feet fitted with readiness that comes from the gospel of peace to share how and why we believe in Jesus. We believe in God. Let's pray. Father, the things we're talking about sharing and some of those things about being ready, it's a little bit scary. And Lord, sometimes we really just say, I don't know what to say. I don't know what to do. But Lord, you've promised that you would give us the words to say. You would give us the things to share. And Father, each person here, as we've said before, each person here has a name. Each name has a story, and each story is important. And God, you can use those stories to draw others to yourself about your goodness, about how we came to know you as our Lord and Savior, about the things that you've done in our lives, just about who you are. And so, Lord, I pray that you would help us, however that is in our lives, to have feet that are fitted with readiness to move as you call us, wherever that might be, in our families, in our homes, in our workplace, in our places of recreation, wherever it is, Lord, help us to be ready. In Jesus' name, amen.